there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Constance Cumby, who's a lawyer practicing in Detroit, Michigan. But, of course, she's best known for a book she wrote back in the early 1980s called The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. And, I'd started in this whole conservative Christian movement back in 1962, and I always knew I was missing something because a lot of things just didn't make sense. But basically, we got to evaluating what was going on, and eventually, we came across Constance Cumby's book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, and suddenly became aware that there was an X factor. There was a spiritual factor that was motivating the communists and the Council on Foreign Relations, the great foundations, and the people of great wealth that were pushing communism and doing everything they could to destroy the structure of our nation. And many of these people were wealthy Americans from some of our largest families. And, of course, this led us into an entirely different line of study, and we'll always be appreciative of Constance Cumby and her influence on our ministry. Well, anyway, of course, Constance now does her own radio program, but she's still practicing law. How are you, Constance?
Oh, I'm fine. I could use a clone or two.
I know. Well, you need to get yourself a good secretary. That's what you need if you could find one under any circumstances. Why? Oh, certainly, want to give us your interpretation of what's going on today as we see, certainly, the President of the United States taking over control of the automotive industry, even though he says he doesn't want to. Taking over control of the banking industry, even though he says he doesn't want to. He's appointed a czar for the salaries and a czar to control the banking industry, and he's appointed a czar to control General Motors, and certainly he seems to be moving increasingly to take control of the health industry and the energy industry. Every aspect of our lives will be controlled by the Obama administration. What's really going on?
Well, there's a lot going on. We've had developments on several fronts. Of course, we in Detroit have viewed the automotive developments with no small degree of distress. And we were, I've told people here, I said, welcome to the New World Order.
Do you think, do some of the people back there listening to you perhaps more than they have in the past?
A lot of people think now things, very, very, very serious things are happening. And there's quite a sense of hopelessness.
Well, basically, we do a program there every evening out of Flint, Michigan. I think it's about 6:30 on the dial, something like that. You got to get them listening. It gets into Detroit fairly well, at least half of Detroit. To get them started to listen, maybe I can convince them, and then we'll even have you on from time to time on that program and let you convince them as well.
Well, that's certainly my backyard. We live 28 miles from Flint. We live right between Flint and Detroit.
Well, we do actually a two-hour program there because it's from 11 to 1. It's late at night, but at least it's a good audience. We get a good response from that region.
It's a great audience, and I hear from lots of your appreciative listeners in this area from time to time.
Grateful.
So you are appreciated, and you do have your fans in Michigan.
Well, tell us what your interpretation of what's going on is, because certainly I believe there is a powerful spiritual force behind Barack Obama, which everybody is missing.
Well, I think that what's going on is that the global governance scenario is in active play. I think Barack Obama, possibly, I don't know, may have been handpicked as somebody who could be used to help implement what the New Agers like to call their Armageddon script. He certainly is harmonically converging on several levels, many aspects of the
hold that thought. We'll be right back with Constance Cumby. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Constance Cumby, who's a lawyer back in Detroit, Michigan. But she lives close to Flint, where we do our evening program as well. And, of course, Constance certainly is best known for her book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. And, of course, written in the early 1980s, it was the introduction to many people of this so-called New Age movement, this spiritual movement that's permeated our society. But, of course, the truth of the matter is this is really a Luciferian movement, and at least many of the leaders of this movement really do understand that there is another powerful spiritual force out there, and they've decided to give their allegiance to that force as we move towards the one world order and the institution of a new one world leader. So you pick up the story. We were simply asking Constance, what about Barack Obama? It appears almost as if he had been handpicked long ago for the position he is in today. I mean, you don't go from, you know, never holding a job to into the state senate there in Illinois, and then not even one full term in the Senate, and suddenly he's the president of the United States, and everything works in that favor. There's a massive crash in the economy just a month before the election comes up, which certainly caused many people to vote for him who never would have otherwise. But go right ahead.
Well, Dr. Monteith, I think what's happened is that Barack Obama is Generation X. He's the son of the baby boomers, and he's in the White House, and he's part of a generation that has been educated to view of what to us was radical as norms. And they take this thing as a matter of faith, as a matter of operation, and global warming, all the tenets, the New World religion. His generation has been educated to think that that is normal. His friends, people like Oprah Winfrey, take it as a matter of faith. And he's had those influences on him. He's had very obvious multicultural influences on him from his life experiences, his mother, his exposure to various cultures and the Philippines. And as an adult, he went through the Ivy League schools and probably, in my opinion, could well have been handpicked. I don't know if it was deliberate.
Hold that thought. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest is Constance Cumby, and she was just simply talking about Barack Obama's background, having gone through Ivy League schools, and the question, was he picked long ago by the establishment and by the spiritual forces that rule our world to become the President of the United States at this time? So pick up the story from there, Constance.
Well, it may be that he was of that generation that stepped forward, that he had was our... had unusual abilities and was articulate and could present himself well and was probably groomed. He headed the Harvard Law Review. He obviously is not a stupid person. Some people have tried to tell me that he is. He obviously is not. But Marilyn Ferguson, the now deceased author of The Aquarian Conspiracy, had written that basically what it was going to take to put this thing over the top was a new generation arising that had been educated in it. He's part of the new generation that arose, that had been educated in this, that really was not heir to our, quote, old age ideas. And he's come forward and saying, you know, by golly, we're going to do it. And he is parroting the global governance line. He is parroting the New World religion line. He is parroting quite openly the Alliance of Civilizations line, and the Alliance of Civilizations is the most frightening aspect of this to me as a believer. I just reviewed President Barack Obama's remarks at the National Prayer Breakfast breakfast in January, and he basically was talking about syncretism. And Alice Bailey, the founder of Lucifer Publishing Company and Lucis Trust, had said in the New Age the only sin would be the sin of separation. And basically that's where they are taking this, that we have to have something that unites all religions, that it to think that you have the only way cannot fit anywhere in this world, that the world is too small to be so divided by sectarian religious beliefs. And so the lines that were parroted by people stepping out on behalf of the New Age in the starting in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s, now that we're in the new millennium, are being passed on by Barack Obama as somebody who's basically been raised in it, who probably, quite bluntly, may know no other way, and it's part of his DNA, so to speak. This is what he believes. This is what he has been taught. And he just basically probably can't see any other way, and he's been patted on the back and groomed and praised and basically postured for this thing. But there are other people pulling strings. He's working closely with the European Union, his, quote, European allies. He's disappointed many people who thought he would do certain things. Looks like the wars in the Middle East are not winding down at all. The Iraq war continues. The Afghanistan war continues. And basically they're now waging a war on religious extremism, which could, using the words that he used in Cairo, the famous Cairo speech last week or week or two ago, he said that he openly talked about the Alliance of Civilizations, which is a global effort of the United Nations with teeth in it to build new world religion, to regulate religious curriculums worldwide, regulate religious schools worldwide. And they are, each country that is part of their, quote, group of friends, unquote, they use kind of innocuous language. They say that group of friends, but their group of friends means 85 allied countries are developing required implementation plans. And these implementation plans are their plans to execute this, the military, the governmental and the military teeth that they're putting in something that basically is going to regulate Orthodox Christianity, Orthodox Judaism, and Muslims who fervently hold to their faith, to regulate us out of business and to instead usher in a new global form of unifying mysticism.
And basically they wanted a world dictatorship with a different religion. They really want to destroy Christianity, don't they?
There are three, just as I've said right from the beginning on the New Age movement, there are three major goals, and those goals remain. Number one, New World Order, and they're doing a pretty good job on that. I think what's going on, and I've heard Barack Obama use the language that we were in a period of contraction, what's going on is their economic program of contraction and convergence to make people cry out for the New World Order, for a New World Government to solve the problem.
And of course, basically,
the second goal is a New World Religion. It's going to be a unifying creed that's going to bind folks into the New World Order. And their third major goal, they do have an expectation that they will be led by a hierarchical figure that they say will be the Christ to the Jews and the Messiah to the Jews and the Christians, will be the Maitreya to the Muslims, the Imam Mahdi to the Muslims, and they are focusing attention on that. And right now, heavy attention is focused in the Middle East, and that is being worked out. And interestingly enough, the man who Barack Obama appointed as the U.S. envoy to the Middle East, it now turns out, had obvious New Age connections, at least with Louise Diamond. That's Senator George Mitchell. And we're seeing all these threads come together, and it looks like they're doing a very good job of putting the machinery in place that they said must be in place by 2009. What they had previously said, this machinery must be in place in the 1980s, and then when whistles were blown on their various maneuvers and they were kind of caught with their pants down, so to speak, they then wrote books and said, we miscalculated when we wrote books such as the Armageddon script by Peter Lemasurier. And instead of 7 literal years, it was 6 times 7 years, which is 42. 42 dated from 1967, the Six-Day War when Israel took the territory. And now we must have our new Messiah and that global governance machinery in place by 2009. And that line is being parroted from people like Javier Solana, the various envoys to the Middle East. That is, a situation is being expedited. The Mediterranean Free Trade Zone by 2010 is being expedited. The GMES, the Global Monitoring for Earth Security of the European Union, and the GEOSS, the Global Earth Observation System of Systems, global snooping mechanisms are in place. And frankly, most Americans are asleep on it. There have been some European observers. There's a group called State Watch that has done some credible job on monitoring some of these hidden dangers of some of these programs. But basically, these things are being pulled together, and some of the military developments are frightening as well. When the ability to conduct warfare from sitting in offices in Las Vegas and then bombing the heck out of places in the Middle East, by people sitting in a chair in Las Vegas, if that exists, and the ability exists to send those drones anywhere to stamp out dissidents. And people who think the revelation scenario is far-fetched, just watch what's happening right now to the, quote, extremists, and then visualize what it's going to be like when we're the extremists.
Well, I think it's so difficult for people to believe that they are marking every home in the United States with GPS tracking, but it's not just the United States.
It happened right to our house. I heard my little dog barking, and I went outside, and there was a nice enough lady, but she had her little GPS marker with her, and she explained they were with the census, and they were out, you know, getting ready for the 2010 census.
But you don't need, you're not supposed to do this.
And then this terribly invasive questionnaire comes. They want to know about every room in your house and everything of your house, and that combined with GPS. They're telling you that it's not being used for anything else. I think they're assembling their databases. And
I think that the significant thing is, of course, it's not to be done until 2010. Why are they doing it a year early? Well, they must be operating on a timetable.
Because the machinery is to be in place by 2010. And then, like the New Agers have been crowing, hopefully. And hopefully they're wrong, but they are saying, hey, you guys are about ready to get your Carmageddon. That's how Shirley MacLaine puts it in her book, Saging, Not Aging.
But I think it's important for our listeners to know that this is not just going on in the United States.
It's going on all throughout
the world. It's going on, you know, in South America, where they have a lot of, houses with tin roofs. It's going on in Africa, and every little hut with a thatch roof, somebody is there, or will be there to mark that as well. Every cave, every place where there is any human habitation, they're going to have the massive databases, and they have the capacity to do it now. It's financed with your tax money through the NSA. That's how they, through Project Echelon, they listen to every telephone call, and they monitor every email and every fax in the entire world.
Well, they have a name for the program. It's called GEOSS, the Global Earth Observation System of Systems. Modest little title, isn't it?
Well, it's nice to know that our tax dollars are being used for something. But of course,
other countries' tax dollars are being used for it, too. Cheer up, it's global.
I know, but of course, the Americans are really the ones who are coordinating the whole thing through NSA, National Security.
Well, it's in the European Union with GMES. It's those two, the European Union and the United States, equally on board.
Well, this is moving and moving very, very rapidly. The average individual has no idea. It is just so impossible. How could they be listening to every telephone conversation? They do it with a computer. Project Echelon. Go up on the internet, E-C-H-E-L-O-N. E-C-H-E-L-O-N, you'll realize it's real. It's been there for a long time. There are all sorts of books that have been written about it, and totally suppressed by the mass medium. The last thing they want the people to understand is what's really going on until it's far too late. Well, Constance, go right ahead.
Okay. Where would you like me to go, Dr. Monty?
Well, basically, you know, the things that you do, a radio program, I'm sure there are things that you are very concerned about. I'm very concerned about this image of Barack Obama actually expanding the government control over the automotive industry.
Well, it's I'll tell you how bad it's looking to me. It's I was at the Macomb County Bar Association meeting. I'm practiced law in Michigan since 1975. I hate to admit I've been around that long, but I've been around that long. And this year at the April annual meeting of the Bar Association, we were cautioned that this summer we might have to expect to act as a defense counsel in civil disturbances, be impressed into duty, perhaps on a pro bono, non-paying basis as defense counsels in massive civil disturbances that could possibly occur. The ripple effect here in Michigan is just huge. Today they announced that 14% of the population was out of work now. 14% of those formerly employed, and it's growing worse every day. North of my office, I'm in Bloomfield Hills, my office, which is supposed to be a plum area, massive buildings are now looking like ruins. They started Bloomfield Park, which was supposed to be the creme de la creme of the area, revitalized the area, and the construction stopped mid-construction. And it's looking like a ghost town down there. Huge, I'm looking at a huge, what's supposed to be a multi-level parking deck. It's sitting there. Not a stone has been turned on it in approximately last 5 or 6 months. They ran out of money, couldn't get new financing. It's sitting there. There is despair here all over the area. Jobs are scarce. College graduates are willing to take anything. Some people have given up looking for work. Basically, there is talk that things could be ripe in this country for a Marxist-style revolution.
Well, we've already got a Marxist government. How could you have a revolution against a Marxist government? Because basically what you're seeing and being imposed today through the Barack regime is typical Marxism. So centralization of power in government, the antithesis of America, where the power of the government was limited so people could be free. And we're moving towards total government regulation of everything. And
I never thought I would live long enough to hear an announcement of a general major corporate executive being forced to resign by the White House. Ford Motor was rather smart, in my opinion, to stay out of the governmental machinery. GM now in this town is commonly referred to as Governmental Motors. In a very cynical sense, there are some people that said they didn't think there was much choice as to what happened. The Barack Obama has been talking about contraction and convergence. Now, this is the global formula. This is the global machinery. And basically what they're doing is downsizing the United States. I think Joan Vion was absolutely correct when she said they're carting the money out of the country, that they're transferring the wealth to the bankers. The automotive companies, which basically have contributed huge, huge amounts to the American economy, I think I saw on the cover of one of our local magazines, $32 trillion, what they wanted and needed to stay viable was probably looked like nickels compared to what was going to the bank.
Hold that. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Constance lives very close to Detroit and certainly practices law in Detroit, and she's just saying that the area back there is looking like parts of the area looking back like a ghost town. Everybody refers to GM as Government Motors. Certainly the whole economy of is simply crumbling there, and certainly, but what everybody has really missed, Constance, is the fact that the United States government is going to give itself like about $50 billion to General Motors now, but it's really all designed to help them move overseas. They already have lots of large plants in India. They have several large plants in India. They have 8 plants in China. They have plants in Brazil. They have plants in Russia. Those are the BRIC countries. BRIC, Brazil, Russia, India, and China. And the long-range plan of the globalists has always been to transfer the manufacturing from the United States to the BRIC countries. Only recently are you hearing about that. And where did General Motors put all of its production facilities? Why, in Brazil, in Russia, in India, and in China. But they're not telling the American people that we're giving them money so they can transfer their production facilities overseas, and eventually, of course, I think
today it was announced that the Barack Obama administration was giving no assistance whatsoever to the automotive suppliers that had been caught in the ripple effect of the bankruptcy and going down, and with the manufacturing being transferred out. And it's not just the automotive company, it's huge industries on the suppliers to the automotive companies. And suddenly that's being shipped overseas. I've heard Barack Obama use the language contraction, that our economy is contracting. There's a global economy is, quote, contracting, unquote. But the manufacturing base is being removed from this country. And the money is, frankly, being removed and transferred to an international group.
But I think this is what the American people have to understand. This is not happening by accident. It is happening by intent. It's part of a long-range plan, and you can read it. It was written. Plan was written by David Rockefeller's nephew, Stephen Rockefeller.
Well, it was in 1999, or in the year 1990, fall of 1999, November 20th, 1999, to be exact. There was a party at Sir Harold Acton's former villa in Italy, Palermo, Italy, I believe, near Florence. And it was donated to the New York University School of Law, or it's owned by the New York University School of Law. And they had quite a party at an event on November 20th, 1999, which just happens to be the same date, as I recall, that Javier Solana was handed the power of the Western European Union. And the event is recorded on page 666 of all pages of the Clinton Wars. And they said the event that they had was a summit meeting on the Third Way Movement, Progressive Governance in the 21st Century. It was part of what they were shaping up and planning, and this is what they're implementing right now. And at that event, everybody that was anybody sat at that event. They had the finest of wines, and they had the finest of entertainment. They had priceless statuary, and they had the tenor, Andre Bocelli, if I recall the name correctly, singing arias, and the Andreas Bocelli, and sang arias for the crowd. And they basically were celebrating what they were kicking off for the 21st century global governance. And they are basically implementing that machinery right now. And basically what they're doing to the United States right now is almost making people cry out wanting something, thinking that anything would be better than the terrible mess we're in. I don't see any way that we could repay all these trillions of dollars in debt. And people are rightfully angry that the same bankers that were allowed to basically fritter away the money on frivolous derivatives and swaps and derivatives received all this huge inflow of cash, and people still can't get mortgages. Nothing's selling. Nothing's moving. If you go to the courthouse, the foreclosures in Oakland County, one of the wealthiest counties in America and one that still has a AAA bond rating, the foreclosures are something are still a huge, huge wall in the courthouse building.
And of course, 1.8 million people have lost their homes in the United States just this year alone. You know, they say these big banks are too big to fall. Ladies and gentlemen, they're too big to maintain. Oh, if we're even to fulfill all of AIG's derivative contracts, why would we be talking about $3 or $4 trillion in addition to everything else? This is all designed to destroy the monetary structure of our nation, and there's no better way to destroy a nation. We'll be right back with Constance Cumby. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and Chris, what we need to do is to quit talking about the banks that are too big to fall. We need to say they're too big to stand, they're too big to prop up. We've got to let them fall and collapse if we hope to save our country. Which do you want to do? Do you want to transfer the money to the banksters who created the problem, or do you want to preserve America? And those are the choices we have, and I think people are going to have to make a decision one of these days to stand up and be counted, or simply to be counted out.
Dr. Monteith?
Go right ahead.
Okay. There have been some new developments, too. There were three items that the press has seized on, and I think there is a propaganda war in place right now, and I think that it's time for all of us to be extremely circumspect in what we say and how we say it, because they are looking for excuses to sweep us under the rug. They're talking about the perfect storm, and they're talking about homegrown terrorism. And their new theory is that people like this man, James Von Brunn, at the museum, the 88-year-old man who shot the security guard at the Holocaust Museum last week, the man who a week or two before had shot George Tiller, and the army sergeant who had converted to Islam and went and killed two people at a base, and they're trying to say those three incidents are related. They're all a product of homegrown terrorism extremism fueled by people talking such as we are alleged to be talking, and that the First Amendment basically can't be stretched to this. They are looking for excuses to implement the Alliance of Civilizations machinery, which definitely is planned to bring religious freedom globally to a crashing halt. And they're remarkably close on that. And last week, the Holocaust Museum event, from somebody who, when I did my research on the Internet, James Von Brunn and the people he was associated with, I saw that they were employing themselves some distinctly New Age logic and themes on their pages, a New Age theme of memes. Now, it could mean that it was all caught right from the beginning, which it probably was. The other thing that it probably means is that they're being worked by New Age interests and propagandized, and third, that there could be agents provocateurs in our midst. But they're talking about a perfect storm, and that they have to shut down these divisive religious beliefs that are leading to this type of extremism in a hurry.
Well, I think
that propaganda is definitely...
Hold that thought, Connie. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Constance Cumby, and she's simply talking about the fact that there is a conscious and organized effort on the part of the mass media now to suggest that somehow these homebred terrorists, you know, people like the gentleman who killed the guard there at the Holocaust Museum, or the gentleman who killed Mr. Teller, Dr. Teller, and there was another gentleman who had shot a couple of people who'd converted to the Muslim faith. And then, of course, they always bring out Ted Kaczynski, these lone terrorists, you know, and they're out there. How can we possibly mobilize against them? Well, I want to address that issue because I think it's very, very important. But before I do, Constance, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website and how they can get to your radio program.
With pleasure. My website is a blog site. spot, and I've got all kinds of goodies that you can download from there for absolutely free. And go to www.cumbey.blogspot.com. Now, if you can't remember all of that, just remember how to spell my last name, C-U-M-B-E-Y. And if you just Google it or use one of the common search engines, Google or Yahoo or any, if you just Google Cumbey, probably the first thing that will come up anywhere on the Internet is my blog spot. And just click on that and you'll be there also without having to type in the full address. Bookmark it. And there's a wealth of material for you over there. And we have quite an active chat room. And I've got links to some very excellent sites of people doing similar work and even more in-depth work than my own on these topics.
All right, then fine. Now, how can they get to your radio program?
Twice a week I do Internet radio programs. And I understand that there are even some stations that have picked it up now. One called for permission to rebroadcast it in Alabama, and I understand that it was given. That's go to the Internet, worldwideweb.themicroeffect.com. And Tuesday night at 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern time, Tuesday from at that time and Thursday at that time, we do 1 hour live. And we had many interesting guests yesterday. Dr. Grady McMurtry was on. I had Dr. Stanley Monteith on a few weeks ago. Dennis Cuddy joins me from time to time. John Leffler, all sorts of really interesting people come on there with me. Carol Matriciana's been on several times with me. Johanna Michelson. And we have a good time on there in a very lively chat room. And you can also join us in the chat room by just clicking on chat room. Click on both Listen Live and the chat room, and then you can join us on both levels.
Well, I think that's important, and I hope people go there because they'll get a lot of education and refer other people, of course, to Constance's website. Now, the next thing I want to know is, what about the republication of your book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, because I would love to carry that.
Okay, well, I'm working on it. The old version is up for free. Anybody wants to read it for free, I'm updating the old version. I got to get that out. When the New Agers put their books out there for free, when Benjamin Krem put some of the worst stuff up for free, and I found out they were doing an advertising blitz, I fight fire with fire. So I will confess, I put the old version up on the Internet and just said, here it is, folks. You can read it. You can make copies for your friends. You may not sell it for mass publication or release it for mass publication, but if you want to burn copies for your friends, you may not sell it, but you can burn copies for your friends and do what you want there. But you can't revise it. The revision and the updating, which I'm doing, is coming from me.
All right, fine. Well, let's get back to this idea of the lone terrorist. Well, let's talk about Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. Where did he get his ideas?
Well, he was a hardcore New Ager.
Well, not only that, but he was a victim of the CIA program. Actually, the government financed a program at Harvard, and I think he went to Harvard, where he volunteered, was paid.
I thought he was University of Michigan.
Well, wherever it was, basically they destroyed, he was there. The whole idea was to destroy his whole sense of values, his sense of right and wrong. He was a victim of a government program that destroyed his sense of morality, and then they turned him loose on society, and should we be surprised that it becomes the Unabomber?
I also understand that he was in and had been a leader, at least went to the lectures and listened and absorbed everything of Dave Foreman's Earth First, and that is the New Age eco-terrorist group that said they would like to start over, have everybody eliminated on the planet but 75,000 and start over with 75,000 human beings. So between the combination of those two things, you have a Manchurian candidate reprogrammed with New Age propaganda where every rock is sacred, every tree is sacred, everything has rights but the people. You've got a lethal cocktail. And that's not just homegrown terrorism, that's manufactured terrorism.
Right. And I think I think that we have to talk about that. And he was under the control of a government program. And then, of course, this fellow who went into the, was it the fellow who shot Teller? No, I think it was the fellow who went into the museum. He was the 89-year-old man.
James Bond.
Right, but he'd been in prison for a while. What did they do to his mind at that time? We don't know.
Well, he was into some pretty heavy New Age things from what I could see. He looked like he had been plugged into the works of people like Eustace Mullins, and then combining that with the theories that coming from some of the New Age think tanks on memes, M-E-M-E-S. And his website had been taken down by the time I tried to get in there and take a serious look at it. I managed to salvage some things from the cached version, but they play this marvelous game of now you see us, now you don't. But looking at the links that were linking, that he was linking to and with, and that were promoting his book, there clearly there was heavy New Age pollination of it.
Well, I think that we should be ask people, I mean, how many of these might be even sleepers, people who are government sleepers? They really do program people. In fact, there's a new book coming out called The Dark Awakening, written by a man who's dealt with many of these people who are victims of government mind programming. Whenever they want to start talking about the danger of the lone of bombers and things of that sort, talk about Kaczynski and the fact he was a victim of a government program. How many of the others are victims of government programming? We must never, Constance, we must never let them put us on the defensive. We have to go on the offensive and point out these government mind control programs. And, of course, this whole concept was beautiful.
Well, there was the MK Ultra business that was funded by Rockefellers, and then the Tavistock folks in England were involved in it. Interestingly enough, some of the folks very close to that Prayer Breakfast Network were involved in that network as well, which is an interesting story, too. And there's a whole another level of issues on that one. But they're, yes.
I mean, the first thing you have to do when you're involved in a discussion with people on the other side is never let them put you into a defensive position. And, of course, they'll want to call you a racist and a nut and all sorts of things. And, you know, I mean, how could you possibly, you know, be in favor of what you, I mean, how could you possibly be against immigration? We're a nation of immigrants. And, of course, the answer to that is how could you possibly want to destroy America? Why do you want to destroy America? You know, one time I got it. Do you know who Gloria Allred is?
Oh, of course, she's an attorney from California.
Right, she's almost as articulate as you are. But I was at a meeting, and Gloria Allred was there, and Bill Dannemeyer, Congressman Bill Dannemeyer, was there, and they were filming this. They wanted, of course, Bill Dannemeyer to debate Gloria Allred, and it had to do with, of course, the use of standard. Public health approaches to try to stop the AIDS epidemic, too, with the people with AIDS, but whatever you do with every other sexually transmitted diseases. And Bill Dannemeyer is one of my favorite people, but there was just no way to get a word in with Gloria Allred. Anytime, you know, he'd say something, she'd take over the discussion.
Well, we've suspected that she doesn't practice law, that she just hires press agents.
But anyway, after Bill Dannemeyer got a little discouraged, somebody said, well, Stan, would you like to debate Gloria Allred, you know, for this program we're actually filming? And so I said, sure. And so, you know, I got up there and I said, Gloria, why do you hate homosexuals? And she looked at me sort of mystified. And I said, look, I mean, public health policy would save, proper public health policy would save the lives of homosexuals, would stop the spread of this disease in the homosexual population. Why do you hate homosexuals? Why are you trying to block things that would save their lives? Gloria Allred didn't know what to do, and I think that the conservatives who are listening to our program, people who love the Lord, have to learn how to enter into this debate. I mean, we're involved in a battle of ideas, and if we don't know...
I was doing a radio interview with somebody from Texas, and they interviewed me, and they brought the New Ager on who was to debate me, and he said, well, she doesn't sound crazy. He said, but what she's saying is perfectly ludicrous. He said, lady, he said, you've got us all wrong. He said, we're not about that at all. He said, we're a cybernetics revolution. He said, in the past, you needed money. He said, you'd go to the bank and you'd present your check and your ID, pieces of ID. He said, now all you have to do is present a card. I said, yep. And I said, next thing you know, all you'll have to do is go present your right hand or forehead. And he said, why, most ministers no longer believe that's true. He said, "What difference does it make?" He said, "For the sake of convenience." He said, "You could take a chip." He said, "For those who lose their cards." He said, "Only your silly religious belief could possibly interfere with a convenience like that." And I said, "Silly religious belief? Would you like to talk about silly religious beliefs?" I said, "Okay, let's talk about some of yours. Plant divas, Luciferic initiations." I started going down the list, and plant consciousness, and he went, "Well, he said, "There's kooks in every movement." And I said, "Yes, but unfortunately, the kooks are running yours." And that shut him right up.
I was actually last weekend was at conspiracy conference. One of these times I'll have to get you to come out and talk. But
I would love that.
Basically, at the end of the 2 days, why they had a panel, and this was a 2-hour panel of about 10-12 people there. I kept talking about this spiritual battle between God and Lucifer. The last person there, he had waited in line for at least an hour to get to the podium. It was the end of the evening. We were all getting ready to go home. And he asked me, he said, "I want to direct this question to Dr. Monteith." He said, "Dr. Monteith, have you ever thought that maybe you're worshiping the wrong God? I mean, you speak out against Lucifer, but look at the world we're living in. God's in charge, and certainly, I mean, we have wars, we have revolution, we have poverty, we have suffering. Look at the terrible job that your God is doing. Wouldn't we be better perhaps to consider worshiping Lucifer?" And I said, "Thank you so much for asking that question. I really appreciate it. I mean, this is what I've been trying to bring out to all the people in the audience, and you have just demonstrated this beautifully for me. I mean, yes, you're absolutely right. There are some people who choose God to worship. There are some people who choose to worship Lucifer. There really are millions of people in America and throughout the world who worship Lucifer, and they're the ones who are in charge of all the terrible things that you're talking about. As far as I'm concerned, I and my family are going to worship God, and you can worship Lucifer." And, of course, he suddenly looks around. He realizes all of these people who had never heard anything like that before, suddenly he had let the cat out of the bag. And
now
he literally ran out of the room.
It's hard for people to believe, but there really are people around that fervently believe that, and they fervently believe that Lucifer is the one who gave us hope, and that movement is far larger than many of us have ever guessed.
And I think you've done such a beautiful job of introducing me to it and preparing me really for many of the debates that I've been in since then. And I've learned so much from you, and I just hope you're going to continue doing what you're doing. And, of course, we always love to have you on. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We have just a few minutes here before we have to let Constance go. But if you have a question or comment, this is the time to bring it up. What's happening as far as Avi Salama is concerned? Is he still moving into positions of prominence and directing things from behind the scenes?
Very, very. In fact, it's not even that behind the scenes. He's right out there, right in the open. I did watch with a little bit of amusement. It's going to be interesting to watch this one play out. Iran said that they had called his representative in on the carpet for impudent and inappropriate remarks that Javier Solana had made about the elections in Iran. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that's handled, because Javier Solana is the world's representative, too, on the Iranian nuclear issues. He also is the major player on the Middle East issues. He has been the only constant on all the configurations, on all the commissions. And I have a new book. I've just picked up Europe or Africa, a contemporary study of the Spanish North African enclaves. But I purchased the book because there was a great deal of material on what Javier Solana was doing to set the Mediterranean process up, the Mediterranean process by 2010. They have on board, he's signed integration contracts all over the world. He's and he is the foremost person running the European Space Agency. Basically, he's the major player coordinating everything, and it appears to me that Barack Obama is basically sucking up and following Javier Solana's script.
Well, Well, it wouldn't be at all surprised. And for those of you who do not know who Javier Solana is, you should know that he is one of the men who really runs the world from behind the scenes and coming from a very, very strong New Age or occult.
I think he's more behind the scenes than he would like to be right now. And one reason he's kept a lower profile than he would like to keep is because, frankly, we've kept the spotlight on him.
Well, I'm glad that you do. I would simply point out for our listeners that everybody's talking about what's going on around the recent election between Ahmadinejad and Chris the Moderate, but people have forgotten that we talk about our concern about democracy, but it was the American CIA that actually toppled the Premier Mossadegh, who was democratically elected in 1953, Colonel Schwarzkopf, who was the father of General Schwarzkopf, who led our forces in the first Gulf War. Colonel Schwarzkopf actually was instrumental in toppling Mossadegh for the CIA, and then we toppled the Shah of Iran in 1979, and we brought the radical mullahs to power. Nobody ever wants to talk about that. And we actually flew the Ayatollah Khomeini, who was living in Paris, to over there in Kyrgyzstan. He simply picked up the groups, intelligence groups that we had organized for the Shah, and the terrorist police that we had organized for the Shah. They simply transferred allegiance to the Ayatollahs. We've kept the Ayatollahs in power, but we can't let, of course, the American people know that. Let's go to Paul, who's calling us quickly. Hi, Paul. Do you have a quick question?
Yes, sir. I'd like to make a comment. Years ago, probably about the mid-80s, my mother read Ms. Cumbie's book.
Right.
And she told us all about that book. And I know she mentioned Eustace Mullins. And years later, you know, when I'm 35 right now, I started learning about the same thing. I started reading Eustace Mullins, and I mentioned you to my mother the other day, and she couldn't believe that you were still giving lectures, you know, after all this time. And I remember she was telling me that this was before, years later, I'd be coming to her telling her about the Federal Reserve.
Hold that thought, Paul. We'll be back in just a moment.
You be careful with Eustace Mullins.
Yeah, I know now. I understand now.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Eustace Mullins, a lot of people would be surprised to hear this, but I've been in this, like I said, I heard it from my mother before that, and I started getting involved myself, just reading up for my own self when I was around 14 or 15, and like I said, I'm 35 now, and you know, it becomes like an everyday thing.
Well, yeah, Mullins is a New Ager who's did a very good
he's
job
also,
of trying to...
Like I said, I know this for a fact, he's also a homosexual.
Well, I don't know that. I don't want to demean him from that point of view, but certainly we disagree with his theosophical foundation. Thanks very much, Paul, for calling. And let's
Thank you.
To our other caller here. Who is calling? Yeah, let's see if we have... who is on the line?
Hello?
Hello, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, do you think that this chemtrail thing, the nanotechnology in it, will be the... Mark of the Beast?
No, I don't. But thanks very much for
calling. I think he has a good point there. I think that nanotechnology is definitely being used. Definitely, the European Union has invested huge sums of money in research on it, and so have we. And basically, that and the RFID technology is being looked as in combination with their satellite mechanisms for their ultimate tracking devices, which they freely say have to be in place.
Well, do you think, though, the nanotechnology is going to provide the tracking devices? Or
the nanotechnology is part of the technology that's being used. They have huge resources devoted to it.
All right, fine. But do you think that will be used for tracking or simply for microengineering of various things?
Well, it can be used for both. There's good and bad applications on these, but they are talking about the potential using that with the RFID technology for tracking.
All right, fine. Well, see, I learned something, as I always do when I have you on the program. Well, Constance, I guess today has been Constance Cumbie. And if you haven't read her book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, it's up on the Internet. And we have, of course, a 4-tape set of my interviews with Constance. We have, of course, talk that Constance... Did we ever send you a copy of the talk you gave here?
You did, and thank you very much. Everybody wants the second one that I gave. I've got the first ones up on the Internet.
All right, you're certainly welcome to put it up there. We want to get the information out. If you'd like to market that, why we'll be glad you have certainly have our blessing to do it. The important thing is to get the information out and get people to utilize it and tell others who will tell others. And I believe there's a growing awareness across America. People know something's wrong, and we've got the answers. God bless you, Constance.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Dr. Stan.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, we do hope you've enjoyed our interview with Constance Cumbie. Fascinating information you won't get elsewhere. And I never thought of nanotechnology and the other. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and somebody had called in and asked about the use of nanotechnology and the mark of the beast. And I thought it was sort of I really didn't understand the implications, but certainly Constance felt that they are usually using nanotechnology along with RFID identification, and maybe they're going to come up with something, so perhaps there's something we're just going to have to keep watching. Under any circumstances, if you'd like to see the DVD, the talk that Constance gave when she was a guest here a couple of years ago at the Radio Liberty Conference, we have that DVD available. It's called The Emergence. The Emergence. And then we have a four-tape set of my interviews with Constance Cumbie called The Aquarian Conspiracy. These are four CDs. We also have a new DVD we just released. It's the talk of that Sidney Patrick Wood gave at our last conference on the Trilateral Commission and how they created the whole financial collapse. This is an excellent DVD, very well done. Patrick is circulating it, and we're circulating it. We want you to get the information, the DVD of Constance Cumbie, The Emergence, the four-tape set with interviews with Constance, The Aquarian Conspiracy, and Patrick Wood's DVD, the Trilateral Commission and the Financial Collapse are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Yesterday, we had an interview with Eric Barger. We mentioned this goes into the background of The Shack. This book, which has been at the top of the New York Times bestseller list for 50 weeks, I think it's down to second or so by now. But, of course, The Shack is, of course, part of the attack on the Christian faith. And, of course, Eric has an excellent DVD, The Death of Discernment. The Death of Discernment. I just asked for the DVD on the Shack. We have, of course, the Dr. Blaylock's excellent DVD on vaccines. It's vaccines and brain development. And you have to understand that the vaccines are being used to destroy the minds of our children. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. It's just like they're not trying to stop the AIDS epidemic using the standard public health approaches in Africa, 40% of the adult population in South Africa and in Rhodesia and in Zambia and many of the other countries. 40% of the people are HIV infected and they're all going to die. 46% of the pregnant women in Botswana are infected and they're all going to die. American tax dollars at work. And it doesn't make sense unless you understand we're up against organized evil. Population control is one of the major thrusts of American foreign policy. If you haven't read the National Security Study Memorandum 200, formerly top secret, but now available, and of course we carry that, NSSM 200, it's available from Radio Liberty. And if you get any of the other items, like my talk on the planned population reduction, that goes into why we outlawed DDT, not because it didn't work, not because it did any harm, but it was the safest insecticide we've ever had, but because it was saving so many lives from malaria. And they tell you 1 million people die every year from malaria. It's really about 3 million. And, of course, between 300 and 500 million people a year come down with malaria in Africa and the tropical countries. And, of course, they don't want to stop the malaria. They want to continue the death. They believe there are too many people in the world. There's an elitist attitude, a Malthusian attitude. And if you haven't read my talk on the population control agenda, get any of our other items and simply ask for a free copy of it, or go to our website at radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com, you can actually read the Population Control Agenda monograph up on our internet site. And then if you haven't seen our talk on the financial Armageddon or got the syllabus, you need to get it. And you need to let people know this didn't happen by accident. The destruction of our economy is long-term planning. They knew what they were doing. Alan Greenspan actively encouraged the use of these adjustable rate mortgages and the derivatives, knowing full well it would destroy our economic system. But that's what it's about. And then our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.